Mesach Sovos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Tes Zayin, until Perek Dalet, Mishnah Yotes. Rabbi Yaakov, Omer, Rabbi Yaakov says a famous line, Ha'olam hazeh, doyma leprozda b'fnei olam haba. This world is like a mere corridor, a hallway to get to olam haba. And therefore, haskin atzmocha b'prozda, prepare yourself in the corridor, kadesh t'kolis atriaklin, so that you will be able to enter into the hall, into the main room itself at the end of the corridor. Now, Rabbi Yaakov chose his comparison very carefully, because the message which he's giving us is not only the fact that at the end of Olam Hazeh is Olam Haba, and that Olam Hazeh, this world, is leading towards Olam Haba, and therefore you should prepare yourself whilst you're here, before you enter into your final destination. But it's much more than that. A corridor, if you think about it, the entire purpose of the corridor is only in order to get to the room at the end. There's no other purpose in the corridor itself. The whole entire point of there being a corridor there is only in order to get to the destination at the end. And so too, there's no point in this world in and of itself other than the fact that it's leading one to Olam Haba. And like the Ramchal explains in far greater depth, which is beyond the scope of this share, really our neshamas, our souls, were supposed to go straight to Olam Haba. Olam Haba is a place of direct closeness and connection to Hashem, which is the ultimate reward and enjoyment for the neshama. However, Hashem wanted us to go there only after deserving it. Everybody knows that something which you earn, you appreciate much more than something which was given to you as a free gift. And therefore Hashem wanted us to earn that reward which we would get for our own sake, so that we ourselves, our neshamas, would receive a greater reward, a greater enjoyment. So for our own good, he created this entire world with all of its challenges and distractions, which try to convince us that this world has a purpose in and of itself, so that we can overcome those challenges and thereby earn our Olam Haba in the next world. Be as it may, one thing is totally clear. The main world is Olam Haba, and that's really where we're supposed to be. For the few short years of our lives, we come to this world only so that ultimately when we get to Olam Haba, it will be a greater Olam Haba. But the entire function of Olam Hazeh is only in order to lead us to Olam Haba. And it's important that we remind ourselves of this sometimes. Mishnah Yud Zayin, Huya Omer, he, Rabbi Yaakov, would say, another idea to do with Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh and the relationship between them, Yofa Shah Achas, one moment, B'tshuvah Ma'asim Tovim, B'Olam Hazeh, of repenting, coming close to Hashem, and doing good deeds in this world, Olam Hazeh, is greater, Mikol Chai Olam Haba, than all of the life and enjoyment and reward of Olam Haba of the next world. Meaning, the opportunity which exists in one moment in this world is more than any opportunity in the next world. Because in the next world, it's too late to build for oneself more merit, and to increase his level, and to climb higher and grow more in one's closest towards Hashem. Of course, the actual closest which exists in Olam Haba, as we'll see in the second half of this Mishnah, is much greater than the closest which is felt in this world. However, once you reach there, whatever closest, whatever height you manage to attain in this world, that's it. The doors close, and whatever you manage, whatever mitzvah, whatever Torah learning you manage to do in this world, great, that's amazing, but that's it. There is no more room for growing more in the next world. Whereas, as long as we're in this world, which is a world far further away from Hashem, as it were, we can feel the closest to Hashem far less. However, we're still able to grow more and to add on another mitzvah and more Torah learning, another good deed, another kindness to somebody else, another heartfelt tefillah, davening to Hashem, another time that we can beat our Yetzirah, win another battle against the Yetzirah. All of these things which allow us to gain more reward, further growth towards Hashem, we can only do that for the limited number of years that we're in this world. The Vilna Gaon, famously, on his deathbed, just before he was about to pass away and go into an Olam Haba, which is, as you can imagine, far greater than we can really ever imagine. This is the Olam Haba of the Vilna Gaon, who every single second of his day was spent learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. And on his deathbed, in his final moments in this world, he was crying. And his students asked him, Rebbe, why are you crying? To which the Vilna Gaon replied, I'm crying because in this world, for a few pennies, for a few dollars, for a few shekel, I'm able to buy a piece of clothing with four corners on it and put tzitzis on it and put it on in the morning and keep it on me for the rest of the day. And every second that I'm wearing that garment, that that item of clothing of tzitzis, I gain infinite reward, infinite closeness to Hashem, which I am accruing every single second of the day and is being stored up for me for Olam Haba, to receive a larger portion of Olam Haba, which is ultimate closeness to Hashem. And what does it cost? Nothing. And all I need to do is just put it on in the morning, and every single second that I'm wearing those tzitzis for the rest of the day, I'm fulfilling a mitzvah which Hashem told me to do. Hashem told me to do something, and I'm fulfilling His desire. For every moment of the day that I'm wearing those tzitzis, I'm not doing anything. And that's why I'm crying, said the Vilna Gaon, because I'm about to go into Olam Haba, where I'm not going to be able to perform one more mitzvah. At the end of our lives, that growth stops. Yeah, we go into a world which is so much more elevated and greater than this world. But our ability to climb higher and higher and grow more and more ends. We've got a chaperein, as the Yiddish term goes. Grab as many mitzvahs as we can, as many hours of Torah learning as we can, whilst we still can in this world. And now Rabbi Yaakov, interestingly, explains the opposite side. It's true that one moment in this world is more valuable because it has the biggest potential that we are able to strive and grow more. However, Yofesha Achas Shel Kiras Ruach Bo'olam Haba, one moment of Kiras Ruach, which we'll explain what that means in a moment, but one tiny second in Olam Haba, in the next world, is greater Mikol Chai Olam Hazeh than the entire life in this world. And the way that Rav Dessler, Zichr Tzadik Livracha, would explain this is, close your eyes for a moment and imagine, cast your mind back to the most pleasurable experience, the most pleasurable moment that you've ever had in your entire life. Picture what that moment is. And now picture the second most enjoyable experience you've ever had. And then add to that every pleasure that you've ever felt ever. Now add to that every pleasure that your entire family has ever felt since the day they were born. And now all of the pleasurable moments which all of your friends, all of your community, anybody alive has ever felt, any pleasure they've ever felt, add that all together. And now, combine to that any pleasure that anybody from the beginning of time has ever felt until the end of history, any pleasure that has ever been derived in this entire world, combine that all into one small moment of pleasure. Yeah, that's going to be one big, enjoyable experience. The Mishnah is telling us that one moment in Olam Haba is greater and more pleasurable than all of this world's pleasures that have ever been experienced. Not only that, what does Kiras Ruach mean? Kiras Ruach is like when you're walking down the street and you walk past a bakery and there's a nice smell of that bread coming out of the bakery. That's what a Kiras Ruach means. A scent, a small smell of something which, of course, the thing itself is much greater, but that small smell of one moment of Olam Haba is greater than all of the pleasures which have ever been experienced in Olam Hazeh, in this world. So of course, once we're there, it's the best place in the world. But every added mitzvah which we do in this world increases that pleasure which we'll get in the next world. And so that's the irony which Rabbi Yaakov is expressing over here, that on the one hand, the opportunity in this world is huge, and once you reach the end of this world and we go into Olam Haba, that opportunity will be lost. Whereas on the other hand, the actual existence is of course a billion infinitely greater in Olam Haba, which is a world of closeness to Hashem, than anything in this world. Now, one reason, one way of explaining how the pleasures in Olam Haba are so much greater than in this world is the following, and of course I'm going to say it very short, even though there is much to elaborate upon. Every person, will talk about Jews for now, a yid is made up of a guf and a neshama, a body and a soul. Now, which part of us is more primary, the body or the soul? So for this, we can go back to the previous Mishnah, that Olam Hazeh is just a corridor to get to the next world. Now, in the next world, we no longer have a body, a physical body, we're only going to be left with our neshama. And the next world is really infinite, it's not bound by time, like this world is bound by time. So essentially, logically speaking, we ourselves, essentially, we are a neshama, a soul. Just that for the 80, 90, 100 years, whatever it may be, Admeir Ve'esem Shana in this world, our neshama is sent to this world, and it is given a guf, a body, for the time that it's in this world, and then once somebody dies, his body is effectively taken away for his neshama, and that causes his neshama to go back to Olam Haba. The soul itself can't exist by itself in its pure form in this world. But that means that our main self, the real person that we are, is the neshama, is the soul. Just that for the temporary time that we are here, we're given a body to sort of put on top of the neshama. But our true self is the neshama. Now the soul, of course, desires only a connection to spirituality. The neshama is a spiritual entity. And so all the neshama wants is a connection to Hashem. Be it as it may, the pleasures which our body gets in this world, just like the entire Olam Hazeh, this entire world, is limited. It's bound to time and space. It's far more limited. Therefore, it follows that all of the pleasures which will be derived in this world are also going to be limited. On the other hand, the pleasures which will be derived by the neshama, the true self, in Olam Haba, just like the next world, is so much less limited and bound and has far less bounds, so too the pleasure is going to be so much more unlimited. And that is a short, by no means full, explanation of why the pleasure in Olam Haba in the next world is going to be so much greater than any pleasure which can possibly be derived in this world. Mishnah Yudches, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, Al teratzes chaveirach b'shas kasai. Do not try to appease and calm down your friend in the time of his anger. At that time that his fury has been burnt, he's not thinking logically at all, and it's not going to help to try and calm him down. It could make things worse. And so one should not try to appease him in that moment where he is really angry. Secondly, one shouldn't try to comfort his friend at the time that his dead relative is placed in front of him. If his close relative has just passed away and is lying in front of him, the emotions are far too high for you to come in there and to comfort him. And to the contrary, that is the time for the relative to show his grief over the dead body. Thirdly, v'al tisha lo b'shas nidrei. Don't ask him all sorts of questions at the time that he is making a neder, a vow. What exactly is a neder? A person is able to make a vow which forbids himself to benefit from a particular item or a particular person, and from the time that he has made that neder, it becomes forbidden for him. The Torah forbids him to indeed benefit from that thing which he specified in his vow. Now, what happens if, let's say, he made a vow not to benefit from a particular person, and a week later, he finds himself in a situation which didn't really cross his mind when he made the neder, but the situation makes it extremely, extremely difficult for him to keep to his vow. And he wants to annul his vow. He wants to cancel his vow and to be permitted to benefit from that person from now on. So there is a concept called Hatoras Nedarim, permitting of vows, where that person would go to a Talmid Chacham, to a righteous, knowledgeable person, and that person would try to find him a sort of excuse. He would ask him a number of questions until they reach a point where the person who had made the vow states that had he thought about the situation at the time of his neder, he definitely would not have made such a vow. And once this person makes such a statement, the Talmud Chacham is able to permit his vow, and he'll be no longer forbidden to benefit from that person. Be it as it may, the point of our Mishnah is that one shouldn't go up to his friend if, let's say, Reuven hears Shimon making a vow about a particular item or person. Reuven shouldn't go up to him and start asking him questions like, but what happens if this happens? Or what happens if you find that you will need to use this item for a particular use? Then what will you do? If he does this, then Shimon, at the time that Shimon is making the neder, he's very firm and he really does want to make this neder. So if you start talking to him about particular situations which might cause him not to make the neder, you might end up having the opposite effect in which Shimon might just turn around and say, whatever the situation is, I don't care, whatever is going to happen, I am making this neder absolutely. And if he says that, then we're in a big problem, because that would basically get rid of the option of permitting that neder. The whole mechanism of Hataras Nedarim is that had I known that this would happen, I would not have made the neder. But now this person, within his neder, is specifying that whatever the situation is going to be, I am making this neder. And it could be that such a neder cannot be annulled. And because of that, at the time that somebody is making a neder, another person should not come up to him to talk to him about particular situations in order to retain that option of annulling the neder. Alright, and finally, one shouldn't try to see his friend at the time that the friend is shaming himself. We're talking about at the time that somebody is doing an Aveira. One shouldn't appear to him and show him that he saw him do the Avera, because that would be very embarrassing for him. Alright, Mishnah Yutes. This Mishnah is extremely unusual, not only for Perkei Avos, but really for the entire Shas Mishnayos. As we're about to see, Shmuel HaKotan Omer, Shmuel the small one, says, the reason why he was called Shmuel HaKotan is because he was extremely, extremely humble. And he says the following, Ben Fol Yivchal Tismach, when your enemy falls, don't be happy, Uvekoshloi Al Yogel Ibecha, and when he stumbles, don't let your heart rejoice, Pen Yira Hashem V'Rab Einov, lest Hashem will see and it will be bad in his eyes, V'Heshiv Me'olov Apoi, and he will turn his anger from that person onto you. And the reason why this Mishnah is so unusual is because Shmuel HaKotan was not the one who said this. Shmuel HaKotan just quoted a direct quote of two psukim in Mishlei, written by Shlomo HaMelech. So it wasn't Shmuel HaKotan, the Tanna who lived at the times of the Mishnah, who said this. It was Shlomo HaMelech, who lived many, many years beforehand and was far greater, who said this. So how can the Mishnah bring this posuk in the name of Shmuel HaKotan? So there are several answers given. We're going to understand that, quite simply, Shmuel HaKotan would very often tell this posuk over to other people. This, of course, is connected to his humility. Part of being humble is being humble towards others and not being happy when they are in a lower place. And because Shmuel HaKotan would always tell over this posuk to other people, to try and spread that message of humility which he himself did embody, this posuk is therefore brought in his name, since he always would quote this posuk.